tech session. Oh, well.
That other lesson that I just gave is at my website already. You could find it. It wouldn't be that hard. Okay, evidence for Jesus. Now, this is the one I really want to do. I'm really into Jesus. I don't know why. For some reason, I'm just into Jesus a lot. Okay. Sorry about that. I have to find it. Here we go. Now, teens want me to do this thing about God and science, and I'm happy to do it. But I'm far more excited about doing evidence for Jesus. Because, people aren't ready to repent and turn in their lives based on science. But there's just something about Jesus. He really challenges our life. Okay, let me put this thing back here. Okay, there it is. So let's talk about Jesus. Who's the real Jesus?
Jesus.
You know, people have a lot of ideas about Jesus. Some people say he's a sage, like a guru. Maybe some people say he's a prophet. Others say he's a liar, crazy person, Messiah, son of man, son of God, God in the flesh, legend, myth, a mere man, an important religious leader like other important religious leaders, a Muhammad, a Zoroaster, Buddha, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Bahá'u'lláh. Is that what Jesus is? Is he just another religious leader like Confucius? I don't know, Joseph Smith, that's a whole other deal. But are there many different paths? Some people say you can take the Buddhist path or the Baha'i path or the Islam path. Or you can take the Jesus path, that's just as good as any other. Some people say Jesus is merely a man. He's a great man, he's a prophet. He spoke for God. All right, Bahá'u'lláh, Lao Tzu, Buddha. All right, now what did Bahá'u'lláh claim? He began the Baha'i faith. What did he claim? What did Bahá'u'lláh claim about himself? You don't know?
No.
Oh, he claimed to be a prophet. He claimed to be the final prophet. They all say they're the final prophet. That's interesting. All right, did Bahá'u'lláh claim to be God? No. Did he claim to work miracles? No. What did Muhammad claim? He claimed to be a prophet that was spoken to by God. Did he claim to work miracles? No. Did he claim to be God? No. What did Buddha claim? Buddha claimed to be a wise man. In my opinion, he was a wise man. I actually like Buddha. Almost everything he said, I kind of agree with, actually. I don't like that he abandoned his wife and children, but other than that, he's a pretty good guy. All right? Now, some people say Jesus is just like one of these guys. What about Moses? Moses claimed to be a prophet, to have been spoken to by God. So, let's look at the claims of Jesus. This idea that Jesus is like Krishna, or Isis, or Osiris, or Mithra, or, you know, Rama, or these things. This idea, that's certainly a common idea in India, to say the least, very common idea. He's a guru, a really good guru, one of the top gurus, right up there with, I don't know, Sri, or whoever, right? Yeah. Now, if we look at the claims of Jesus, we have to agree that certain things are ruled out. If we're going to look at the claims of Jesus, then some of these are, they can't all be true. For example, if Jesus is a liar or a crazy person, then he's certainly not the Messiah. All right? And so we have to ask, what's a reasonable explanation of the claims that Jesus made about himself? Now, Jesus made some pretty amazing claims. In John 5:39, he said, oh, let's read it. He said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Now this is quite a claim. Jesus is talking to the greatest teachers of the Old Testament, the greatest scribes and all that sort of stuff. He says, you all been reading the Bible your whole life, and you missed the whole point. He said, the entire Bible is written about me. That's quite a claim. Imagine one of us saying, yeah, you know Genesis? It's written about me, you know? Zechariah, you're talking about me. Now, the way I see it, maybe I'm crazy. Tell me if I'm wrong. But either the whole scripture was about Jesus, or none of it was about Jesus. You know, it's got to be one or the other. And which is a reasonable conclusion. Now, if you came to the talk on From Shadow to Reality, I think probably the former one makes more sense. But imagine, if this was not true, what is Jesus? He's a liar or a crazy person. Either that or he's what he said he was. Now, Jesus made some pretty amazing claims. For example, in John chapter 6, he said, I'm the bread of life. In fact, let's read that. That's not even on our list here. John 6, why isn't that on the list? I need to put it in there. Oh my goodness gracious. Let's look at John 6, verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. Did Moses say something like this? Did Muhammad say something like this? How about Confucius? How about Buddha? Has anybody ever had the audacity to say that I'm the bread of life, and if you eat of me, you will get eternal life? Has anybody said that? Sure, whacked out people, you know, in the mental place. They say all kinds of stuff. All right, I need a volunteer to stand up. All right, thank you, volunteer, stand up. I want you to let the crowd know that you are the bread of life.
I'm the bread of life.
No, go away.
Yeah. Now do it again. This time, look very, very serious. Look them right in the eye and say, seriously, folks.
Seriously, I'm the bread of life.
That's not good enough. You need to really have some conviction there.
I am the bread of life.
Alright, now, thank you very much. Now the first time he did it, he said, and then he said, I'm the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will possess eternal life. And yet Jesus said this. Jesus is no mere prophet. He was a prophet. He's not simply a guru. Yeah. I suppose you could call him that. He was that, I suppose. But either he is who he says he is, or, you know, you should probably reject him. Now, Jesus had a habit of doing a miracle to kind of confirm this. He says, I'm the bread of life. What had he done just a few hours before? He made enough bread to feed more than 10,000 people from nothing.
Wow.
John 8:46. Who is this man? I see only two choices. He either is who he said he is, or he's a liar and a dangerous man. He should be killed, actually. John 8:46. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? And I need to have somebody who's a married man whose wife is here stand up. So a married man whose wife is here, I want them to stand up. Alright? There you go. Go for it. Alright. Now I want you to ask this question. I want you to do it with a little bit more. Come on! Come on!
Can anyone prove me guilty of sin?
His wife says, yeah, this morning he was really in a bad mood. Jesus stood in front of dozens, probably hundreds of people, and he said, can anyone prove me guilty of sin? I imagine them thinking, no! Wow! Never thought about that. They didn't feel a little lived around it. Look at their response. He says, can anyone prove me guilty of sin? Now, for anybody else in the world, they say, yeah? How much time do you have? Instead, in verse 48, the Jews answered him, aren't we right to say you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Basically, they said, you're crazy. Now, that's interesting. Jesus claimed to live a perfect life. Did Moses claim to live a perfect life? Baha'u'llah? Buddha? Has anyone ever claimed to live a perfect life? Well, incredibly arrogant, prideful people, maybe, but that's a sin right there. And yet, all they could say is, he's crazy. But do crazy people ever sin? You know, last time I checked, they do. John 8:58, this is really amazing. They're talking about Abraham. I'll go back to verse 57. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Truly, truly, I tell you, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. What's Jesus claiming here? That he is God. Now, I know, maybe I'm wrong. But the way I see it, there's two possibilities. Either Jesus is God, or he's not God. But if he's not God, what's going on here? He's crazy. I don't know what it would be. You know what? I believe Jesus is God. Either that or I can't explain what's going on here. And look at their response. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. Now, that's a reasonable response. A reasonable response to Jesus is to try to kill him or to oppose the religion that he began. That makes sense. Another thing that makes sense is to say, amen, Lord. What doesn't make sense is to say, oh, that's nice, Christians, Jews, you know, James, Sikh, that's nice, they're all the same thing. That makes no sense. If Jesus is who he says he is, then all other religions are a lie. I'm just struggling to find any alternative territory here. Jesus made some pretty exclusive statements about himself. They're not just statements about himself, they're statements by implication about those who made claims, false claims, to be a prophet. John 10, verse 30. All right, again, I'm taking this a bit out of context. You might want to go back and read it. Verse 29, my Father has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand, my Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Wow. Now, what's he claiming here? Well, you could argue for two interpretations. Maybe what he's saying is, hey, me and God, we're really in. We're really close. I thought he was saying he's God. Well, let's see what the people interpreted it. Let's see. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. And Jesus said, no, I'm not claiming to be God. I'm just saying God and I are close. Do you think Jesus might have corrected them? Do you think he would maybe kind of have to correct their false understanding there? Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is the one of whom, if we eat of him, we possess eternal life. John 11. John chapter 11. Lazarus has died. Jesus had healed thousands. It was common knowledge. People, tens of thousands of people came from great distances to witness his healings and to experience his healings. One of his very closest friends, Lazarus, is sick. They beg him to come, but he doesn't come. He dies. It's 4 days later. His body's been in the tomb for 4 days. You know what bodies that are like after 4 days, and you may not have smelled one. He comes in, and in verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Did any man ever say, I am the resurrection and the life? I'm not going to ask somebody to stand up and say this. I think that's blasphemy. But then again, probably what you said is quite blasphemy. It's okay. We'll forgive you. I asked you to do it. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Wow. Again, either he's the resurrection and the life or he's not. But if he's the resurrection and the life, then everybody in this world better become a Christian. Yeah. And if he's not, you better leave this church right away. You better go in a whole other direction. But you know what? Jesus had a way of proving his claims, because you know what happened just a few minutes later, right? They went out to the tomb. And people are crying, and Jesus wept. He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. He wept out of compassion for the people. Jesus had the greatest compassion ministry of all history, beyond even Mother Teresa, as great as she was. So anyway, Jesus says, roll back the stone. And they say, Jesus, aren't you aware there's going to be a smell in there? He says, look, I said to roll back the stone. They roll back the stone, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus walked out of that tomb. This really happened. You know how I know this really happened? Because it's written in the Bible. And many of those who were there present at the scene were still alive when these Gospels were written. Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What's interesting is to look at the responses. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. Well, no kidding! If you smell the disgusting smell coming out of that tomb, you heard the words of Jesus, Lazarus, come out. If you saw him come out of that tomb, do you think you might possibly put your faith in Jesus? I think I might. This really happened, folks.
Yes.
But, you know, what's interesting is not everybody was there believed in him. If you go down a little bit farther, it said, I'm sorry about that. I don't have the verse here. Yeah, further on down, it says, verse 46, sorry. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Well, no kidding. And then the Romans will come and take away both the temple and our nation. So they decide to kill him. Why did they decide to kill him? Is it because they didn't believe he'd raise Lazarus? No. The reason they decided to kill him is because they knew he raised Lazarus. The way I see it, if you hear what Jesus said about himself, There's only two rational responses. To become a Christian, to repent of your sins and turn your life in and give your life to Jesus, or to become the greatest enemy of Christianity, do everything you can to destroy that religion. This kind of ho-hum response, that's nice, you know, that's a good religion, but mine's okay too, or, you know, you can believe what you want to believe, we all believe, and all two paths of the same cross. This is crazy stuff, folks. So why is it that so many people have a sort of a, you know, not so sure Jesus is a nice guy attitude? Why do the Muslims say he's a prophet, but only a prophet? Because what he said doesn't agree with that. It is impossible that he's a prophet and only a prophet. That is irrational. How could anybody believe that Jesus is a prophet and only a prophet? Because if he's a prophet, and he said he's God, if he says if we eat of him we'll have eternal life, and it's not true, then he's obviously not a prophet. Either Jesus is God, or I don't know what else it is. You know what? I believe Jesus is God. I believe he's the only one. I believe when he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, I believe it's true. Was Jesus insane? Well, what did crazy people do? Jesus didn't do what crazy people do. Was he a liar? What do liars do? Jesus was not a liar. All right, and then we can talk about the prophecies, except I ran out of time. So I'm going to go to that last one. I'm going to go to the very end. The prophecies Jesus fulfilled. Let me do the really fast version. According to Isaiah, the Messiah must be despised and rejected. Was Jesus despised and rejected?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anybody could do that. Maybe you got despised and rejected. I don't know. According to the prophecies, Jesus must be pierced. Was Jesus pierced? Yes, he was. Could Jesus have arranged to get pierced? Can you imagine him up on the cross saying, hey guys, do me a favor, when I die, pierce me. Because then I can fulfill all the prophecies. Alright? If you want to be the Messiah, you have to be born in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem, historical fact. But according to Isaiah 9, 1 and 6, if you want to claim to be the Messiah, you have to come from Nazareth, or the region around Nazareth. Okay? If you want to claim to be the Messiah, you have to get crucified. Did you know that crucifixion was even invented until 300 BC? 700 years after this was written. Wow. And crucifixion by nailing to a cross was invented by the Romans in 100 BC. When David wrote these words, they have pierced my hands and my feet, he must have gone, what did I just say? But not only does the Messiah have to be crucified, he has to have them gamble over his garments and divide them up, which both of which happened. And if you want to be the Messiah, you have to get sold out. For how much? Zechariah 11, 30 pieces of silver. By the way, how much did Judas get?
30 pieces of silver.
You know, a case is beginning to be created here. And then there's Daniel 9, 24 through 26, that says 77, it's 490 years from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's in Ezra chapter 7, the 17th year of Artaxerxes, 458 BC. According to Daniel 9, the Messiah will come to Jerusalem to bring in everlasting righteousness, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness. 490 years from the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which was 458 BC. Now, if you subtract 490 from 458, you get negative 32 AD. Oh, wait a minute. There was no year zero. So according to the prophecy, the Messiah is going to come to Jerusalem to die and make for forgiveness of sins in the year 33 AD. That's a pretty tall order. Right? That's pretty specific. In order to be the Messiah, you have to be born in Bethlehem, raised in Galilee, despised and rejected, silent when accused, pierced, crucified, garments divided, garments gambled over, betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. You have to come to Jerusalem and get yourself crucified in the year roughly 33 AD. Can you think of any others who qualify for that one? How about the one who lived a perfect life? How about the one who raised Lazarus from the dead? How about the one who fed 5,000, who said, I am the bread of life. If you feed upon me, you will have eternal life. Jesus is unique. There's no one even, Jesus is a category of one, and there's no one else, to try to even begin to think about putting any other religious figure even close to the category of Jesus is laughable. Jesus was not a liar. He's not a crazy person. He is God in the flesh. So why do people have problems with this? Because we need to tell them about this. We need to do this prophecy study. We need to do this flame of Jesus study with people. All right, I didn't get to talk about miracles or even the resurrection, but it's 6:02. That's pretty good timing since I was supposed to end at 6 o'clock. Thank you very much.